Now, I'm not familiar with the real objectivity of this website, but what they report mirrors my experience. Mullally proved, with the transformation of Ford, that cultures can be changed. In other words, there is hope for the Starbucks competition to improve, and it's quite possible that Starbucks could lose the lead. This is one of the greatest things about culture. It can be changed. Stratospheric changes have occurred in American culture, and the same is true in business. The paramount question is not what are the problems in a culture, but how can leaders create a culture of engagement? Now, I'm stressing the word engagement because this is the key characteristics of building a culture in the context of viral leadership. Engagement creates involvement. It invites response, and it recognizes that at every level, culture can be created, activated, and perfected with every evolving development and enhancement. GE's Randy Dobbs wrote, quote, "When you want to create a new culture, you're inspiring people to modify their core beliefs, who they are in business," unquote. Leaders who wish to enhance the cultural experience should note that a company is comprised of people, and people are only limited by their beliefs. While coaching and counseling leaders in my practice, I have found that it is self-limiting beliefs that stand in the way of activating change. Examples are beliefs like, the company isn't ready for change, or we have to replace some key board members before we can even think about change. While some people who hold limiting beliefs can stand in the way of progress, by transforming ourselves first, we can create a subconscious desire by others, even stalwarts, to embrace new possibilities. This can only be accomplished by maintaining congruency between intentions and vision. The intention to share with a strategic vision based on why we do what we do can transform a business culture. It is infectious, and it won't be hidden under a bushel. Congruence between intention and vision is something that manifests as positive action, becoming noticed so that others want to be a part of it. This is the definition of viral leadership. In the 1980s, as our culture moved into the tech age, a more open and desirable culture climate of engagement within these types of companies began to evolve. We've all heard stories about the CEO playing ping pong with the mailroom clerk in the middle of the day while at work. Now, although this laissez-faire culture has had its critics over the years, there are several companies in business today that are great examples of offering a successfully engaged cultural climate. Businesses such as the website building company Squarespace, as well as the Adobe System Company, are examples of this. Year after year, Squarespace has been voted one of New York City's best places to work. The Adobe company is on the same level and adheres to the same philosophies and cultural beliefs. These two entities have successfully created a culture that thrives by reducing layers of management between frontline employees and the executives. It's not holacracy, but is a, quote, thin organizational chart that values the entire company working together in an open model. This makes everyone accessible to one another most any time and at every level, which results in transformation in a genuine way. These companies show that they value their employees by providing top pay, huge perks, and great benefits. But most importantly, they have created an engaged culture through viral leadership and showing respect to their employees. What is it that most often stifles communication and decision-making? More times than not, the answer is layers and layers of bureaucracy. This is something that flattening can easily resolve. At Squarespace.com, for example, the employees are truly heard. Likewise, the Adobe company created a culture of engagement by unleashing the creativity of their employees. They achieve this by bringing lifestyle and quality of life to the corporate culture. They even have a hashtag for it, hashtag Adobe Life. This was created to foster a sense of improving the quality of living for their employees. At Adobe, the annual employee performance ratings are not used to, quote, grade their employees' performance. They choose to stay away from micromanaging, finding that this methodology promotes a sense of freedom in doing one's job, which results in enhanced levels of creativity. Employees are empowered to contribute, and more importantly, they want to, because they feel as if they are part of the vision, and they are. And this, again, is the definition of viral leadership. Now, what is it that these companies are doing that you can do? How can you work hard and play hard as a team? Adobe does it by presenting challenging projects and then empowering employees to find solutions without being babysat. Can your company provide greater autonomy to unleash creativity? I say the answer is a big yes. By paying attention to the work-life balance, you will engage your employees in the real world. What is it that you do or can do to demonstrate that you care about your employees at every level? I remember one of my first jobs in the restaurant business. It was at Chi-Chi's Mexican restaurant. The first month I was there, it was rough. The place was always packed and everyone, including management, yelled at each other. Now, speaking of managers, all three of them would hide in the office and only emerge when the restaurant got busy. When they did emerge, it was usually to yell at us for being, quote, in the weeds and to pressure us to go faster and turn tables quicker. Now, I arrived at work one day to find out that the general manager had been replaced. There were two corporate bigwigs there, and they introduced us to the new GM, whose name was Chuck. Now, Chuck's first duty was to appoint a new assistant kitchen manager. The person he chose for the position worked previously as the dishwasher. Chuck spent the next couple of days in the kitchen working as a line cook. He left us, the wait staff, alone. And it just felt like the old stresses had melted away. Over the next few months, I never heard Chuck yell. If he saw a problem, he grabbed a tray and cleaned the table. He helped employees lift heavy trays and boxes, and he expedited food to the tables. He was a great boss because he respected and inspired us by leading through example. He told me that he started in fast food and moved to full-service restaurants as a line cook. He worked his way up, and he led his team by helping them make things run smoothly. He didn't say much, but he engaged everyone in both the front of the house and the back of the house. The company HEB operates 350 grocery stores throughout Texas and northern Mexico. The letters HEB stand for Howard E. Butt. Although the name sounds like a schoolyard insult, it is the actual name of the company's founder. Nowadays, the initials also stand for Here, Everything's Better. The store's slogan, hyperbole? Maybe, maybe not. I remember shopping at HEB because they had the best tortillas I had ever eaten. HEB believes every person counts, and it is one of the few grocery store chains I have been to where the managers are easy to find. At HEB, the bar is set high. According to the Harvard Business Review, Craig Boyan, HEB's president and COO, calls the culture, quote, one of restless dissatisfaction, striving specifically to engage more, serve more, and innovate more, unquote. And this desire for engagement is reflected in how employees are titled. As a matter of fact, they're not called employees, but rather partners. Boyan's principles of performance and engagement translates to the community as well. This is one of the key aspects of viral leadership, which does not just lead or motivate employees, but garners engagement from all stakeholders, including both customers and the border communities. In 2015, Boyan was honored by Texas A&M University with the McLean Leadership in Business Award. The award specifically relates to the fusion of business and service, and with Boyan at the helm, HEB has been at the forefront of community service. This includes everything from disaster relief to food bank assistance to an open call for nonprofits to partner with HEB for direct support. These facts about HEB can be found by reading about the company. Even though I have not lived in San Antonio for many years, I still love my trips there. Why? Because not only do they still have the best tortillas in the world, but because every time I've walked into that store in the 25 years, it has been a positive experience. The culture that engages is culture that is visible. These examples can encourage you to create an incredible corporate culture. The takeaway here is that if you hold limiting beliefs about your team, community, or about engagement, you will be limited by those beliefs. But by being open to new possibilities and engaging your team at all levels, you can adapt new beliefs, which will result in new actions. Mullally at Ford demonstrated that even a global company with toxic culture can change direction and do so rapidly. Barra at GM shows us how to infuse innovation and forward thinking into the company culture. Starbucks competition models how not to treat customers. Boyan at HEB shows us that by partnering with employees and the community, we, the company, become valued. And what becomes valued becomes valuable. Adobe proves us that by moving away from micromanaging and allowing for creativity, we will enhance engagement and enhance outcome. Squarespace shows us that leadership can engage at every level, even if someone is not the, quote, boss. And finally, people like Chuck, the GM at Chi-Chi's where I worked when I was in college, shows us that engagement comes best when leading by example. Part 3, Foundations of Viral Leadership. Chapter 7, Foundation of Intention. The foundation of harnessing the power of now and creating lasting transformation is intention. Nothing that exists in this world exists without intention. A desk just doesn't make itself. A car doesn't just build itself. And even an autonomous vehicle had to be programmed by someone with intention. Intention is what creates our reality. And it's for this reason that it is the foundation of leadership. After dropping out of high school because of his English, Richard Montanez began his 35-year career with the Frito-Lay factory as a janitor. Now, much like Ford's inspirational CEO Alan Mulally and Virgin CEO Richard Branson, the Frito-Lay company practices the same philosophy of everyone being a part of the team. One day, a message from the company president was sent to all Frito-Lay employees, encouraging them to, quote, act as owners of the company, no matter what their position. This inspired Montanez to do something big. He set the intention of expanding the Cheetos brand to include a spicy hot version inspired by Mexican street food. Now, this is really a beautiful story, illustrating the power of leadership to inspire intention. That message from the president set employees at every level free to believe and encourage to dream and dream big. Montanez was so excited and inspired that he called the president's office and scheduled a meeting to pitch his product idea. He and his wife had been developing recipes and flavor combinations, having set the intention of sharing their heritage and tastes with the world. 2 weeks after making the call to the president, Richard Montanez bought his first tie so that he would look professional at his meeting. Today, Flamin' Hot Cheetos are Frito-Lay's top-selling product. Richard Montanez is now known as the godfather of Hispanic branding. And after 35 years with the company, he retired from spearheading the Hispanic marketing team in his role as a senior executive. Montanez teaches us a valuable lesson. It is our intention that often sends an idea or product into viral orbit. The Flamin' Hot Cheetos didn't just taste good, they became the number one selling Frito-Lay product and have helped Frito-Lay to a 56% market share in the salty snack category. Montanez followed the leader, the company president, and became a leader himself. Over his 35 years with the company, he also brought new flavors and new profits to other PepsiCo companies like KFC and Taco Bell. His viral leadership also spread from the company to the community. This includes giving community scholarships, school supplies, and a desire to open doors for Hispanic youth. People can often forget the importance of intention. In our career training, we had intention to finish a degree, complete a certification program, or master a craft or skill. As we worked towards our chosen goal, our intention was being fulfilled, and it brought rewards along the way. Rewards such as financial gain, opportunities for advancement, and the ability to assume positions of high regard. But as we manifested those original intentions, in some cases, we became too enamored by the rewards and stopped aspiring to new intention. Unfortunately, many people in positions of leadership can lose focus on intention and get caught up in chasing the proverbial pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Marriages can often demonstrate examples of lost intentions. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist with a master's degree in counseling. In 30 years of doing therapy with clients, I've seen the following trend over and over. A young couple sets the intention to live happily ever after. Typically, the joyful lovebirds will start off working together to reach their mutual goals hand in hand with smiles on their faces. First is the intention to get married. The engagement, the parties, the planning, the guest list, the reception, the food, the music, who sits next to whom, and the honeymoon. Details, details, details. Next comes a new way of life that includes buying a house and perhaps a car. Soon after arrives the family, then getting through pregnancies and childbirth, stinky diapers, sleepless nights, then school, clothes, cell phones, teenagers, and the list goes on. Eventually, a few years after reaching their initial goals, the previously blissful couple have lost sight of their intention and are bogged down by the life that they have created for themselves. They forgot that they intended to spend time together, dream together, and grow old together, and they drift apart. The goals are still there, but the intention is not. Now, this is the source of the 7-year itch for most couples. Unfortunately, psychotherapy is a lot like business, and rather than focusing on intention to fix it, most therapists just help people set new goals on top of the old goals, making the problem ultimately worse. One very important distinction I want to now firmly plant into your mind is that goal setting is not the same as setting intention. Goals are future-focused, while intentions are present-focused. Intention is what we live and manifest. Goals are what we strive for. This difference is why intention is the foundation of sustaining leadership and capturing the enthusiasm of a viral moment. Intention is a key in noticing the trend and capturing the moment so that we can strategically enhance our leadership. Have you ever created a vision board? I created one a couple of years ago with 4 pictures. The pictures were the goals that I had at that time. One of these was a weight loss goal, represented by a picture of me when I was at my best a few years previous. The next picture was the Las Vegas skyline. As my kids were nearing college age, my goal was to move to Las Vegas after they became independent. The next image was a stack of, quote, paid in full bills, representing my specific financial goal. The 4th image was a beautiful, black, shiny new Mercedes Maybach. Although I never did get the Maybach, I did get a black Mercedes E550. To date, I'm now at a comfortable weight, I love living in Las Vegas, my bills are always paid, and for anyone reading who does have an E550 Mercedes model, you know that it's more than enough car, and close enough to count as reaching my goal. My vision board may have appeared shallow to some, as there's no world peace or lofty goal of unifying cultural divides that have caused great divisions in our world, blah blah blah. But that's not what a vision board is for. A vision board is to stimulate one's mind, focus on specific desires, and activate the actions necessary to reach one's goals. As the law of attraction always dictates, I stayed focused, and within 15 months of hanging those four pictures over my monitor, my vision board was the first thing I packed in my Mercedes for my move to Las Vegas. Although goal setting is a very important cog in the wheel of success, it is limited and will only take one so far. Setting goals alone are often not enough to keep one motivated. Intentions, on the other hand, have no limits and open our field of vision, expanding our imagination and visualizing new opportunities. In my case, I had the same four goals for 15 months. And although I eventually did hit every one of them, there were times of seemingly little to no progress, especially dealing with the weight loss goals that were gruelingly frustrating and almost impossible. But, thankfully, every day is a new day to set new intentions. In many ways, intentions are more gratifying than goals because intentions can be manifested and be immediately gratifying every day. You don't have to wait to be kind, to listen to others, or to be accountable, but you can experience these things now with intention. Research shows us that successful leaders in corporate settings have certain characteristics. Some of these include self-awareness, self-control, and resilience. Either goals or intentions can be set around each one of these. I can set a goal to increase self-awareness by practicing monitoring my emotions, and I can use technology to help me measure the outcome. Tools like the Muse, a brain-sensing headband, can tell me if I'm spending enough time each day in the mental frame of self-awareness. I can set goals for self-control, like not eating dessert for each lunch and each dinner, or only having soda once a week. I can set a goal for resilience by measuring the time I spend doing things outside of work, along with setting a goal to increase these meaningful activities. But, unlike intentions, each of these goals will take time to be reached. Intention provides instant gratification. In each of these three areas, I can set an intention and begin living it right now. For self-awareness, I can set the intention to be aware of my body and sensations in any situation. For self-control, I can set the intention to be good to myself. And for resilience, I can set the intention to just breathe when faced with stress. And the good news is, I can start living these intentions and reaping the rewards right now. Alan Mulally led Ford by setting the intention of refocusing on its core brand. The goal was to divest Jaguar and Volvo, but the intention he set was for Ford to be the very best it could be. Now, if you recall, he began setting his intentions on day one. His intention was to open dialogue and become a, quote, no judgment zone, unquote. His intention was to create 100% employee buy-in at all levels. His intention was to be confident, even in the face of overwhelming financial problems. His intention was not to just return Ford to profitability, but to sustaining profitability. The financial numbers were the goal, but the intention was sustainable profitability. And every action, every day, reinforced that vision. Setting intention is, to some extent, setting into action that to which we are most receptive. Kindness, compassion, well-being, and balance. Some intentions are physical, the intention to know and use our bodies. Some intentions can be emotional, to be happy, to be grateful, or to create calm. And of course, intentions can be spiritual, to experience meaningful engagement throughout the day, or joy at work. Intention really is our internal wealth. As leaders in a business setting, we are financially rewarded for effective leadership. And after a lifetime of leadership, wealth can be measured by bank statements, cars, and paid-off mortgages. I never believed the line, quote, money doesn't buy happiness, unquote. I've always found that the more money I have, the easier it is to be happy and enjoy life for myself, as well as the pleasure of sharing it with others. In other words, as an entrepreneur, I have experienced boom and bust more than once. I find it easier to be happy when I'm experiencing boom rather than bust. But ultimately, I have found contentment during periods of bust. And the reason I did was because of my intention. My intention to be grateful. And my intention to be optimistic. And my intention to see how my experiences could benefit others. After graduating high school, my daughter took a couple of years off to work full-time and to pursue her athletic dream. She had become a nationally ranked roller derby contender, a lead jammer, and wanted to travel the country playing her sport. A few years later, about the same time my youngest son was entering college at 18, she too was ready to go to college. Now, I was prepared for one kid in college, but two at the same time caught me a little off guard. My son decided to get a combination bachelor's/master's degree, and my daughter was a speech-language pathology major and went full-time on the 5-year plan. Although my son was a top scholar and ended up getting scholarships to fund nearly 100% of his education in the last 2 years, my daughter, having entered college a bit late, didn't have those same opportunities. I paid for their cars, phones, insurance, and expenses, including tuition and room and board, so they would be able to graduate without student loans. And for part of this time, I was also paying for my school, as well as finishing my doctorate at Bakke Graduate University. As a student myself at that time, I was far less attentive to my business and earning far less than I had in previous years. But we all made it through school without any student loans. My intention was to live each day debt-free and to stay within the means afforded to me. It was my intention to be grateful for my Ford Escape, although my goal was a Mercedes-Benz. It was my intention that gave me wealth during the bust years, and it was my intention that created true wealth, happiness, and contentment each day. What is your intention right now? Think of what's most valuable to you in this moment. Chances are pretty good it's not actually a Mercedes-Maybach that would be most valuable at this very moment. Right now, the intention to learn, the intention to be focused, and intention to be receptive to new perspectives is far more important than any goal you may also be holding. Intention harnesses the power of now. Goals are focused on the future. Intention is where our plans come from and where our purpose and design for living is established. To make sure that you never miss a viral opportunity to exercise leadership, set your intention each morning. Self-affirmations are a great way to do this. For me, the most effective method of self-affirmation is to simply keep a dry erase marker in the bathroom and every morning write my intentions on the bathroom mirror. A dry erase marker and a bathroom mirror are essential tools for any leader. Right now on my bathroom mirror is the intention, quote, I intend to share my experiences that can help others throughout my writing today, unquote. If you don't have a dry erase marker at home, set the goal to stop at the store on the way home from work today and buy some. Then, set your intentions to inspire yourself by writing your intentions rather than your goals on the bathroom mirror each day. And, as an additional bonus, setting one's intention also helps in goal setting. Goal setting is important because if we aim for nothing, we'll hit nothing. But intention is often where the goals come from. And more importantly, good intention helps us create clearer and more beneficial goals. Chapter 8, Viral Leadership is Built on Authenticity. Viral leadership becomes effective when the ideas and enthusiasm from a person gains buy-in from others. As team members come on board and increase the synergetic energy, the next level of buy-in takes place. There are, of course, many factors at play here, which range from the initial enthusiasm of the core group to gaining full team cooperation. The effects may be for a specific issue or a blanket policy adjustment. FOMO, the fear of missing out, is also a factor in many cases. It really doesn't matter what the motivation is at this point as critical mass is established. Historically, this pattern is found in almost every viral success story. Tulip mania is considered by many as the first recorded viral frenzy. Tulip mania was a period in the Dutch golden age of the early 1600s. During this time, market prices for the popular flower bulbs skyrocketed and then profoundly collapsed in 1637. The term, quote, tulip mania, unquote, has become a metaphorical term describing any large economic bubble that reaches critical mass and then collapses. But the pattern doesn't always result in a crash. Enthusiasm and buy-in can be sustained. The difference between fads that crash and lasting moments can be defined as differentiated by leadership. Coca-Cola has a rich history of seizing the moment to create lasting change. When introduced at soda fountains throughout the Atlanta area, Coca-Cola was undoubtedly a smash hit. Investor and majority owner Asa Chandler saw the frenzy and grabbed the opportunity to expand beyond Atlanta, introducing the concept of bottling to preserve the product for reaching broader territories. Management also recognized the value of branding early on to create lasting enthusiasm. In 1916, the licensed bottlers created a unified message in the distinctive bottle that could be easily identified as unique from their competitors. In its 130-year history, Coca-Cola has adapted to world markets, weathered global wars and recessions, and remains today a stalwart company listed on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Aside from creating a great product with a long history of good corporate decisions, the brand has been authentic. Authenticity is the core that binds product and customers together. Authenticity is the glue that bonds the core of synergy and buy-in. Authenticity, above all else, separates brand leaders from other brands and propels individual leaders to recognition as a creator and contributor rather than, quote, just the boss, unquote. Early Coca-Cola ads seem to reflect the mystical properties promised by its pharmacist creator, Dr. John Pemberton. This magical elixir was advertised and promoted as a, quote, ideal brain tonic, unquote, and a way to, quote, impart energy and vigor, unquote. It was even promoted as a cure for medical conditions. Coca-Cola had certainly created a lasting formula and enjoyed success at this level for many years. In 1905, a real change in marketing came about with an ad extolling Coca-Cola as a product for all classes. Coca-Cola not only recognized the value of branding, but the importance of continuity company-wide. This inspired creating a quality assurance system to ensure that high standards are maintained, from recipe adherence to specifying the optimum temperature for enjoyable consumption of the beverage. Each of these elements contributes to authenticity by making a reliable product. No matter where in the world you may be, you will more than likely find Coca-Cola on the shelf, in the cooler, or on the menu. And it will taste just as good and refreshing as the last one you enjoyed. Another interesting aspect about Coca-Cola's authenticity early on was a strong desire not to compete on price. From its inception in 1886, and for the next 70-plus years, no matter where you went, the price for a Coke was always the same. Stability, predictability, and consistency. These are not only the hallmarks of a sustaining moment, but also of leadership and, more specifically, authenticity. Coca-Cola is a shining example of the effectiveness of, quote, why marketing, as articulated by Simon Sinek in his book titled, quote, Start with Why, unquote. Sinek gives us a biological reason for why inspired leaders and inspired companies start with, quote, why as the power source of success. In his book, he shares example after example of successful companies and leaders who focused on why they offered a product or service rather than the what or how. Quote, products with a clear sense of why give people a way to say to the outside world who they are and what they believe, unquote. He writes, quote, remember, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it, unquote. He then goes on to indict the leadership of many companies who fail to understand leading with the power of why, adding, quote, and when that happens, manipulations that rely on pushing price, features, service, or quality become the primary currency of differentiation, unquote. During this same period, Pepsi competed on price and offered twice the ounces for the same price. Pepsi's 1939 slogan was, quote, twice as much for a nickel, unquote. 40 years later, they're still spending their time, efforts, and monies focusing on duking it out with the competition rather than telling us why we should all drink Pepsi. Quote, taste that beats the others cold, Pepsi pours it on, unquote, was their slogan starting in 1967. The 1970s brought us the Pepsi Challenge, still competing to win new customers on taste. Coca-Cola, on the other hand, adapted the slogan, quote, look up America, and, quote, Coke adds life, unquote. These slogans are reasons why rather than what or how. Here are just a handful of the many effective slogans that persist being associated with Coca-Cola decades later. 1937, America's favorite moment. 1939, whoever you are, whatever you do, think of good ice-cold Coca-Cola. 1945, Coke means Coca-Cola. 1947, Coke knows no season. 1969, it's the real thing. 1979, have a Coke and a smile. 1999, enjoy. 2005, make it real. And 2009, open happiness. Now each of these slogans, and the many I did not have space for in this book, exude authenticity. They speak to the why of Coke. The result has been more than 100 years of market dominance. This is the value of authenticity. Authenticity is the glue that makes viral leadership stick. At the time of this writing, Coca-Cola is once again in the news, and once again, this positive publicity is directly related to authenticity. More specifically, their number two selling product, Diet Coke, is in the spotlight. For years now, soda sales have been on the decline, and Diet Coke has perhaps suffered the most. However, a report I'm reading currently is sharing the results of the most recent quarterly profits from Coca-Cola, proving the pundits wrong. Shortly after redesigning the old, short, fat Diet Coke can for the more modern and slender, taller cans, sales began to climb. Analysts and other speculators are attributing the success to everything from cloning the look of the popular energy drink Red Bull to the new colorful cans appealing to younger millennials who have not yet embraced Diet Coke like their parents. I suppose it'll take a while for the marketing research executives to issue a determining factor, but I can probably save them a lot of money. The new marketing is decidedly authentic. Not only is Diet Coke finally out of that short, fat can, something that's always struck me as odd as someone with behavioral psychology training, but it has been marketed specifically with authenticity as a value. Rafael Acevedo, the executive responsible for the new rollout, even used the word authenticity in an interview with CNN. He said, quote, "We're making the brand more relatable and more authentic," unquote. The interesting note here is that this was not a corporate decision hatched in a meeting room, but one that came from over 2 years of efforts and gaining the buy-in of over 10,000 consumers before launching the change. Now, although one quarter is not enough to define a trend, the long history of Coke being authentic clearly points to continued dominance and maybe even sustainable growth with a product many had written off as dead to the new healthy times. Viral leadership is about creating sustenance from an enthusiastic emergence of ideas, products, and innovation. Sometimes that captures the dreams of people with a common cause. Authenticity goes a long way in capturing that enthusiasm and the power of now. But if companies can be authentic, how does this authenticity arise? Aren't companies just mindless organizations that make and deliver products? Of course not. After all, businesses are not thought of as people, but they are. They come into being with the convergence of people. And almost every business succeeds or fails based on its people, including leadership. This is true for businesses of every size. Even a giant corporation like Enron collapsed because of its people. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, there's a small mom-and-pop restaurant called Steak Stuffers USA. Founder George VanWyck opened it with his wife in the late 1980s. The sandwiches were cooked by their son Garth and his wife. Although George has passed away, the company is still family-owned and operated. To this day, they continue to succeed in the tough restaurant business. And get this, in the worst locations possible for a business to try and survive. Garth and his mother still run the store, and contrary to conventional wisdom and business logic, they're only open 5 days a week. Even Chick-fil-A is open 6 days a week. Their first location was too small. Their second location of 20-plus years had limited roadway access. You had to really want to go there to get there, and many previous businesses had failed in that same spot. Steak Stuffers USA, however, made it work. Not only have they created and offer a great product, they continue to focus on how important people are to their business. They treat their employees correctly with respect, dignity, generous pay, and benefits, and they treat their customers like family, even displaying photos of their customers on the interior wall. Up until his death, George manned the cash register every day and called every customer by their name. On the other end of the spectrum, let me tell you about Amy's Bakery. Amy's Bakery was a small Scottsdale-based restaurant that famously crashed and burned on social media by literally fighting with their customers. They unfortunately met their demise after an episode of Kitchen Nightmares starring Chef Gordon Ramsay. I used to frequent this restaurant whenever I was in Scottsdale. Their desserts were amazingly delicious, perhaps the best I'd ever had. Dinner was actually pretty good, too. Unfortunately, it was their inability to communicate with people, both staff, customers, and social media, that decimated their business. The saying goes, quote, "A company is only as strong as their people," unquote. We can extrapolate from this statement that companies are only as authentic as their people. If you want to seize the power of now to create dynamic and powerful success in business, then authenticity is going to be the key to unlock that success. The internet is littered with inauthentic attempts to make something interesting, useful, or entertaining. These type of YouTube videos get no hits, and their Facebook posts get no likes or shares. In the end, most of these attempts just become a future embarrassment for the creator. But videos that are authentic, interesting, useful, or in some other way capture an authentic moment or people can easily become viral. The first video of cochlear implant users hearing their loved one's voice for the first time is a great example. Videos of heartfelt proposals that capture the moment rather than a staged production. Babies, animals, baby animals, these all get millions of hits. Memes that capture a snapshot of reality become famous, such as people like Kyle Craven, who accidentally became, quote, Bad Luck Brian, or Sammy Griner, who became, quote, Success Kid, unquote, while looking tough and holding a fistful of sand when he was just a baby. How to cultivate authenticity. Authenticity is one of those elusive creatures we seem to identify best by first recognizing the lack of authenticity. We've all had that boss who we knew really didn't care. We've all experienced the customer service rep who is not interested in customer service, or the salesperson who just creeped us out. True authenticity is understated, and we most often recognize it in retrospect. I'm sure we can all think of people in our lives who is or was truly authentic. What vibe do you give off? Do people receive you as authentic? The good news for us is that psychology researchers have studied authenticity in detail. Alex Wood, a positive psychology researcher, tells us that these three behaviors comprise true authenticity. Self-alienation, how well we feel we know ourselves and understand our qualities, characteristics, and behaviors. Next, authentic living, how congruent are our actions with our beliefs and values? And then, accepting external influence, how much we adapt to our perception of how others would like us to be. These are the three focus points for developing authenticity. I'm going to go straight to what we can do to perform our best in each of these areas. By developing them, you are more likely to encourage others to share your dream, your vision, and act to seize the power of now. Self-knowledge. I'm surprised how many executives I coach really lack a clear picture of themselves. They know what they can do, they know what they did, they know what they want to do, but they don't know who they are. They fight with their deficits, often fear their demons, and are filled with self-doubt about their own ability to sustain their position. Most people won't admit their deficits to others, especially a spouse or coworker, but they know what they are. I find that what is missing from our frame of reference concerning the authentic self is usually the internal strengths that we possess. Sure, we can identify the obvious traits, well-educated, hard worker, etc., but what are the deepest strengths that we possess? These are the beliefs and behaviors that resonate with our qualities of character. Trustworthy, honest, loyal, brave, clean, reverent. Does that sound familiar to you, scouts? Taking a personal inventory is not just to look at self-deprecating faults, but to also identify our strengths. Clearly, PBS childhood television personality Mr. Rogers was viewed by most as authentic. But he was also strong, persuasive, and unwavering, all captured in a timeless video of him that has gone viral in our current era of social media. It's an amazing video of him defending public financing for PBS in front of Congress in 1969. To learn more about yourself, tangible personality tests such as Myers-Briggs are widely available online. For me, they're both informative and entertaining. Create your personal motto. Companies often develop mottos to create and guide their esprit de corps. Start by identifying your values, those beliefs that you hold about yourself, your company, your employees, and the community of customers. Google has a slogan, quote, don't be evil, unquote. Adidas has adopted, quote, impossible is nothing, unquote, which is actually an adaptation of a Muhammad Ali quote. And probably the most recognized slogan in our modern time, quote, just do it, unquote, from the fine marketing folks at Nike. So, what's your motto? Create one. Write it on your bathroom mirror. This will help you evaluate if the choices that you're making, the actions that you're taking, and the associations you're holding are congruent with your motto. In his book titled Ignite the Secret, 19 Lessons for Business and Life, CEO Charles Horton, the founder of Secure Vital, writes, quote, "Determine your principles up front and envision the mission you have for yourself and your team. When you have established your values in advance, you will know when you're violating them because it will start to feel uncomfortable," unquote. He continues, quote, "Choose what you stand for. Create your own platform and implement your beliefs into your business," unquote. Flock with inspirational people. Early in this book, we talked about intention. To develop authentic leadership, you must not only identify your intention, you must surround yourself with people that both inspire you and that you inspire. The relationship between intention and inspiration is rarely seen. It is when we seek relationships and mentoring from those who are inspirational that our authentic intentions rise to the top. Now, Horton gives sage advice when he says, quote, "Figure out who has something to teach you and pursue that person's company and advice," unquote. To be authentic, we need to be both mentors and mentored. Now, it's critical you choose your mentors wisely and choose those who are positive, grounded, and inspirational. Chapter 9, Going Viral, V-I-R-A-L. A leader's job is to lead. The place to begin leading is within oneself. Qualities and attributes of effective leadership are musts for all leaders, especially viral leaders. Without focusing internally on our own strengths and personal development, it is impossible to coach and lead others. When leaders develop their potential and enhance their own internal resources, behaviors, and personality characteristics, the very process of doing so becomes valuable. I have found that it is a lot easier for me to help people make positive changes when I have made those changes myself. This gives me empathy for difficulty, and it gives me the ability to share with others from a place of passion and experience, and it helps me to enthusiastically engage with others. So far, I've shared countless cases of examples of viral leadership, along with the specific pathway to harness the power of now to create lasting transformation. Now, it is time to focus inward. Here are the 5 big factors in creating viral success with your leadership. They are V, vision, I, integrity, R, role model, A, action, and L, loyalty. Viral. Each of these have been explored either directly or indirectly in previous chapters. Each of these 5 factors can be utilized and developed differently in each of the 4 quadrants of viral leadership. Vision. Vision is about taking today's intention and stepping it into something lasting. Vision is often mistaken for a roadmap to the future, but we really have no idea what the external factors in a given business will be in the future. Effective vision involves extending intention into something lasting that is not rigid. Flexibility and being, quote, lightweight allows an organization to move into the future unencumbered by a fixed map. You can think of vision as being like a flight plan for a cross-country trip. Although the pilot flies a flight plan with all of the markers along the way, once in the air, the pilot will deviate from the flight plan based on present conditions. Weather, speed, winds, air traffic, weight, and many other factors all necessary. It is intention coupled with experience and insight that guides the flight, not the filed flight plan. Vision is practiced and developed. In this context, vision is a character trait rather than the often discussed, quote, vision statement, unquote. Vision as a character trait exemplifies clarity of thought, requiring an ability to use discernment to clarify what is important and separate it from what is unimportant. It is the ability to take something small and conceptualize it in a larger context. In the first quadrant of viral leadership, creating viral teams, vision is unveiling the potential in everyone and contains the ability to conceptualize how various players can share the vision. It manifests in the second quadrant of viral leadership, innovative ideas, by seeing beyond the obvious. Steven Sasson, a young engineer at Eastman Kodak and the inventor of the digital camera, did exactly that. He put various components together, including a lens from a Super 8 camera, a charged couple device, a cassette recorder, batteries, and electrical circuits to create a machine that allowed an image to be stored on tape and then played back later. No paper, no film, and completely self-contained. It was the attribute of vision, perhaps from his engineering background, and his ability to transcend the obvious and be innovative that disrupted a market. It's worth noting that 33% of Standard & Poor's CEOs hold engineering degrees. Engineering is a discipline that specifically focuses on training skills in vision and innovation. In the third quadrant of viral leadership, ownership and buy-in, vision again emerges as viral leaders seize the power of now. Having vision of how to act upon the now is an ongoing process throughout the organization. In the fourth quadrant, culture and engagement, vision is again manifested as a shared vision is created from the experiences and values of every stakeholder. Interestingly, despite Mr. Sasson's inventing the camera as an engineer working for Eastman Kodak, the company did not share his vision. Eastman Kodak even went as far as to allegedly suppress his invention, not bringing it to market because they feared it would cannibalize their lucrative film income. Leadership at Eastman Kodak, like with so many other companies, was focused on maintaining the status quo and not on innovation. Kodak has become case study number one in numerous articles and books about the importance of vision in disruptive innovation. Forbes characterized it this way, quote, "There are few corporate blunders as staggering as Kodak's missed opportunities in digital photography, a technology they invented. This strategic failure was the direct cause of Kodak's decade-long decline as digital photography destroyed its film-based business model," unquote. And I will characterize it as a failure to create a corporate culture that cultivated vision. Integrity. Integrity offers the opportunity to share intention and vision in a way that is genuine and to gain full-hearted buy-in as the result. Integrity and authenticity go hand in hand. When it comes to building teams, first quadrant success is created through trust. One of the universal needs of all people is security. And, like authenticity, which is felt at a visceral level, integrity is also one of those needs. Integrity is also innovative. In the current world's political climate, most everything seems rather surreal. Relationships and friendships are increasingly virtual. Even things that are established facts, such as the planet Earth being round, are up for grabs anymore. The result of what is really a time of truth angst is that the trifecta of genuineness, authenticity, and integrity instantly stands out from the crowd. I have a colleague that makes marketing videos and posts them on his vlog. After a few weeks of being absent, he returned by sharing a personal tragedy in his family. But rather than seeking sympathy, he had clearly made his latest video out of the spirit of authenticity. He stated that he was at an emotional loss of how to proceed and genuinely asked for help. He even acknowledged his embarrassment over sharing personal details, but felt he had no choice. This is a powerful form of integrity, a leader recognizing his own needs for leadership, in this case personal and emotional, and owning his limitations. Integrity innovates by being unique. It really does stand out. It's one way to solve the problem many startups face in recruiting talent that cannot yet be afforded. Optimistically, though, History is filled with experienced and talented people joining new or even fledgling businesses. They come on board because they believe in the integrity of the leaders and of the project. History is also filled with stories of incredible rewards for individuals and the companies they have aligned themselves with. This innovation leads to buy-in and ownership, as well as a culture of engagement. Role model. Viral leaders are role models. They manifest leadership both at work